Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study.
Last week was the beginning of a series, Tony. If you didn't see it, you need to go out. I'm going to highly encourage anybody that missed it to go out there and look at the first hour and a half of this series, because it's really enriching. We're talking about the series' name, What Is Born Again? And we know that there's no one been born again except Jesus Christ, and that's what we're using the scriptures to prove. But today we're going to move forward in it. Would you bow your head in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for letting us meet here. We thank you for the privilege of being inside the body of Christ. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ dying for all of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And that's what it's all about. Welcome, Richard. Now, I want you to, you don't have to go there. Everybody knows what this says in Ephesians 4:5. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So we know what Paul's talking about here is referring to the baptism by, I want you to see, not with, but by the Holy Spirit and into the body of Christ, and not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is no such thing as the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It's by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. There's some people try to tell you, oh, you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the charismatics. Charisma. You know what, since it's on my mind, the charismatics. They want your money so they can spread their garbage, and I'm telling you, that's what it is. If you're not preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of sin, buried and resurrected from the dead on the third day to justify you, and that only, you're preaching garbage. You're lost. You are lost. Who said it? Good. But there was a baptism with the Holy Ghost, wasn't there? For the little flock? In Acts chapter 2, let's look at it. It says, renewing of the Holy Ghost in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And I want to take a look at, well, we're going to go over to Acts 2 in a few minutes, not right now, but there was a baptism with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. There is no doubt about it. But in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His holy mercy, He saved us. You can't work for this. This is a gift. And that's what it says in the scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And Romans, what? 6:23. It's a gift. It's a gift. Not by works of righteousness, back in Titus 3, 5, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration. It didn't say by the washing of your regeneration. It says by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, we're going to cover that a little bit more. I'm backed up here just a little bit to lead us into, this was last week, but to lead us into today's service now. Now, I want you to look, go over there with me, would you, to Titus 3, verse 3. Titus 3, 3. In Titus 3, 3, Paul writes, your apostle, he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, how could somebody that Paul just described as being in those type of conditions ever have had the Holy Ghost? So that now we could be renewed with the Holy Ghost. You never had the Holy Ghost to begin with. The only one on the face of the earth that had the Holy Ghost at one point in time was Jesus Christ. But you never did. So how could we be renewed with it? The word renewing literally means renovation. Renovation. Now, think about something. When Christ died, where were all of your sins? On Him. Let's look. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. This is one of the scriptures that's part of our, and it doesn't say the so-called greater commission than Peter's commission, because it didn't say that it's the great commission. Some man termed that great commission. this is the greater commission. If you want to say that was a great commission, this is the greater. This takes precedence over anything that Peter had to do. In verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was reconciling us, and he did it by not doing something, by not imputing our trespasses unto us. Wow, reconciling the world, taking sin out of the way. But who were they imputed to? The Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, let's just look at this. For he, that's God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. He made him to do that. Who knew no sin, Jesus Christ knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then you've seen me draw on the board our line, our position of being in Christ when you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, right? You've seen that. And I always write out to the side, God's righteousness. And you're 100% as righteous as God Almighty himself. That's what it says. We might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We are in Christ. The only way you get in Christ is to trust what he did at Calvary for you. That is the only way. Don't tell me there's two ways. I don't care what Billy Graham says. I don't care what the Catholic Church tells you, that Muslims has got a different way to the same God. Allah is not our God. Allah is Satan.
There you go.
So when Christ died, where were all your sins? They were on him. And him alone. He was made. I want you to see that word made to be sin for us. Now, in order for God to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, something had to happen, didn't it? He couldn't do it. He couldn't raise Christ from the dead out of hell with sins on him and send him straight up into heaven. So something had to transpire. He had to be circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Took all the sins and cut them away. And I always love what Richard says. The sins as far as the east is from the west. They're left in hell or wherever they're at, because that's where he was at. So there had to be a renovation, didn't it, going on with Jesus Christ. A renewing of something. He says, by the washing of regeneration in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He doesn't say that God shed forth on you a washing of regeneration. Never, ever said it was for you. But religion has been taught over and over in the seminaries that that's you in Titus 3, 5. That you've been washed again and renewed by the Holy Ghost. It is not so. That's a lie of the devil. He says, by the washing of regeneration. So there is a washing going on, or there was a washing involved in this, wasn't there? But this washing positively means bath. In other words, a baptism. But in Luke chapter 12, what did the Lord say? Luke chapter 12, verse 50. Christ, well, it wasn't Christ at the point. He was Jesus, the Son of Man. In Luke chapter 12, verse 50. He said, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straight until it be accomplished? So it was a baptism unto death that what Christ was talking about. And it was your death that he died. You died judicially right there on the cross. But he died in your behalf. Have you went out and told somebody that lately? Christ died for all of my sins. I'm so happy I can't stand it. I'm joyous. I want to praise the Lord. Glory be to God. I bet you hadn't done that. Try it sometime.
I did it over the phone with my granddaughter.
That's awesome.
She lives out of state, and I just sent her a bunch of stuff in the mail yesterday.
It'll work. Phone, letter, whatever. Yes, Jim?
If he didn't die for all of our sins, would he not have to come back over and over and over again and perform the same?
That's what it says in Hebrews.
It had to be all sin took care of. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a chance anywhere as far as getting to heaven, because we can't. We until he changes his vile body, we're going to be like we are. And I'm just glad that he died for all my sins.
The word "all" is the operative word. It hurts me to think about what I used to listen to in the pulpits, that Christ died for your sins. But now the rest of them, starting today, that you trusted Christ, are on you, and you have to ask for forgiveness for them. These are on you. No, they're not. He took all sins. Sin is not a problem in this world. It's your unbelief in the finished work of the cross that's the problem. See, that is the problem. That's hard to understand, though. After you've been programmed over and over and over again that this is what is your responsibility now, you've got to go out and ask for forgiveness. No. We're not going to straighten the world out, but it's our responsibility to tell each and everybody about it. Yes?
You know, it was really interesting. I was listening to EC yesterday, and he was addressing the thing that you were talking about on the Great Commission. He said that the little flock, that they were disobedient to the Great Commission. They just stopped. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, you know, baptize them in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and all that. Well, I guess in Acts chapter 15, what it was is they, and actually in Galatians chapter 2, they said, we'll go on to the circumcision, and you go on to the uncircumcision. Mm-hmm. So they stopped. They didn't go into all the world.
The Great Commission ceased.
It ceased. It stopped right there.
God ceased it. They didn't. He ceased it by sending a new apostle into this world with a different message.
Exactly.
So God, I don't care what EC said there. If he blamed it on the little flock, it's not the little flock's fault.
No, but that's what he was really basically saying. It's over with. It's done.
Absolutely. They never got out of Jerusalem. But anyway, back to the cross.
He called it the Great Uncommission. I like that.
So there he is, Jesus Christ, hanging up on the cross. He says, it is finished, right? And he bowed his head and he died. He gave up the ghost. Did he really die? Yes, he was dead. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some Jews tell you that he really wasn't. Then later on, some of his people came by, took him off the cross, took him out, got him well. Then later on, he sired a bunch of children. Oh, my God. He was dead for how many days? 3 days and three nights. His body was in the tomb, but where was his soul at? You know, his spirit went to heaven. His soul was in the lower parts of hell. Lower parts of hell. Is this going to be the end of it, that Christ went to hell? He went to hell for you. No. Why? Because he was regenerated. We've already discussed in the first session last week, regeneration and born again are the same term. It means the same thing. The washing of regeneration. Not just any washing, but the washing of what? Of regeneration. And where did it happen? All this work took place on the cross. It took place on the cross. Now, let's look at it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Real quick, we'll jump over there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In verse 10, though, let's look at that. And you are complete. If you've trusted the gospel of the grace of God, you are complete in him, in Jesus Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom, in Christ, also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You see that? In whom also you are. That's everyone in here. You are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Amen. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by something, by the circumcision of Christ. And you're buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. It's the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead, and he also quickened you and he raised you from the dead. So what's the problem in believing what Jesus Christ did on Calvary? You know, it's just very simple. Christ was crucified for the forgiveness of sins. He was buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day to justify you. What's so hard to understand? That's all there is. It's to call the simplicity of Christ. The word regeneration means rebirth. It's a renovation. What does that sound like? Born again. Born again. There he is. He's dead. His body's in the tomb. And his soul is in hell. This is all took place. It was in those 3 days and three nights. Something has to happen. So after the 3 days and three nights, he's born again. It's called the washing of regeneration. The washing of rebirth. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost happened. He had the Holy Ghost. You and I, as I've already stated, never ever had the Holy Ghost to be renewed with. But you know what? He is the first. He is the first begotten from the dead. He's the first of the first fruits.
So the washing of regeneration in Titus
is born again.
Yeah. Now I lost my place, but is that the same reference as circumcision of Christ and what we just read?
No.
Okay, that's where I was. Okay.
Now regeneration is being born again.
Okay.
Circumcision is cutting away.
Cutting away.
Sins.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought that's okay.
Philippians 3:21, these five bodies are going to change like in his glorious body. At that time, is that going to be? All our sins have to be cut away.
All of our sins have been cut away, Jim.
They are cut away.
They already done. It happened at the cross.
That's what I'm saying. But he's going to change us.
Our body's going to be changed like into his glorious body.
See, I thought you said that the transformation was the regeneration of washing.
No, don't get to that point yet. We're going to get to that point. Of Philippians 3:20-21. And that's what the transformation is.
Yeah.
But we ain't got there yet.
But the transformation is the cutting away part of it. That's not being transformed?
Nope.
See, that's what I'm saying.
All the sins, the circumcision, circumcised means a circle.
Right. I got
cut
that.
Away. All the sins Jesus Christ took on him, and he was circumcised, which in turn circumcised you of all your sins. They have been cut away from you. When God looks down on you.
That's in Colossians 2 that you just read.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, Mary Lou.
That's the work that he did in hell when he was in hell.
Yes, it was in hell that took place.
And I was reading in Psalms, and I don't have that paper Joe had that showed, you know, the fulfillment of prophecies.
Yeah.
But there was a Davidic psalm that said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." And you know, that wasn't referring to David whatsoever because
absolutely.
There was no time. So
we'll probably get to that. I think that's Psalm 2:7.
That's a beautiful scripture.
Yeah.
Not leaving.
We're getting somewhere down that way.
That's a prophecy fulfilled.
Oh, it is. You're right. It's not David. So we're talking about Jesus Christ being begotten from the dead, being born again. If a child is begotten, what does that mean? That he's born? You got children? You begot a child. That's what it looks like. In Acts 13, let's look at it. In Acts 13:32. And we declare unto you, Paul is talking here, glad tidings. Who is he talking to? The people in the covenants of promise. In the where? Synagogue. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Paul says that he was raised up. Jesus Christ was raised up again. This day have I begotten thee. What day was that? It was the day he was raised from the dead. Who? Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:15.
I never thought of that, ever. That begotten thee, that was reference to that. Never.
Yeah.
Never. That's a brand new concept.
Hmm. It talks about who is the image. Who is the who in here? Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You know, in John 4:24, he says, God is the Spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
So, who? Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. You can't see a spirit, can you? Now, in verse 18 of the same book, and he, Jesus Christ, or Colossians 1:18, and he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church. That's a hard concept for people to grasp. That Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and the church started with the Apostle Paul. is the first human being being put into it. It irritates me to no end to think people out here preaching that Acts chapter 2 is where the church started. That's as wrong as day is versus night. It's just wrong. But Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. And it tells you right here, he is the firstborn from the dead. He was begotten from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, I'm going to show it. I hope this is not too far-fetched. It's not to me. But if it is, let's talk about it later and dwell on it. I want to show you a regeneration, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the regeneration. Now, in Genesis, go over to Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. No, Scott, we're not going to be talking about the gap theory today. Today. We will talk about it. And I was afraid that this might lead into that, but I hope not. This is for a different reason. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the word heaven here, as it's written, heaven, can be used as singular or plural. I will tell you that. A lot of Bibles has heavens. That's wrong. But this is heaven and the earth. I want you to put emphasis on the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Something took place, didn't it? Something catastrophic happened, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, hey, he was here from the very beginning, wasn't he? He's one of the Trinity. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Something happened between the creation of heaven and earth in verse 1 to the condition that we see in verse 2. The earth. Put it in your mind, the earth, not the world, but the earth was without form and void. Didn't say the world was. It says the earth. So Peter, go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, would you? Peter briefly mentions this. Briefly. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. I'm going to give you some analogies here shortly. And like I say, this is one of them, and I hope this doesn't. Just follow me on it, and hopefully it'll sink in. Maybe it just sinks in for me, but I hope not. I hope everybody gets it. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, for this, Peter says, they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Now, the word of God, Jesus Christ created all things. So God and Jesus Christ are one and the same. But Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, according to John chapter 1. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. The world perished. The earth, listen. The earth, now this is moving to something else, but coming back to the same thing. The earth was flooded in Noah's day. This is not what we're talking about with Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, but that's not what Peter's referring to. World is not the same as the earth. World is an orderly arrangement of things. World is, in Greek, cosmos. Is that right, Richard? He's our Greek scholar in here. That's why. This includes everything, including habitation by inhabitants. Now, I'm not going into detail. I'm just going to tell you, Adam was the first man created. There's no doubt about it. That's what the Bible says. But they were inhabitants down here, and they're called pre-Adamite creatures. They're not human beings. We're going to leave it like that to another day. But the earth is a different thing. Earth means dirt. What's dirt? Terra firma. Simple terms here. That's the only thing I can research, Richard. I don't like Greek. I don't like Hebrew. I like English. Why? Because my Bible, the one I'm saved by, is written in English. Because we are made out of dirt. Ain't that right?
That's right.
It means land. Terra firma does. Dirt. Soil, things like that. The earth didn't perish in Noah's day. The earth didn't perish. The people perished. Different story. The flood took them all away. The earth was still there. It stayed for about a year underwater, but it was still there. Now, we're getting back to something here that I hope is not outlandish. And if it is, y'all can...
We'll un-unlandish it.
What happened? What did that leaf, what did that dove bring back? An olive leaf. Wow. The olive leaf was still there then, wasn't it? It didn't perish. Neither did the earth perish. But the world that then was, that Peter was talking about in Genesis 1:1, perished. Believers in Christ don't perish. Our old vile bodies are going to die. But we have eternal life if you're in Christ. I want you to look at this regeneration. And this is what's maybe hard to follow. In the regeneration that's in Genesis. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the first day.
The evening and the morning.
Huh?
The evening and the morning.
And the morning.
The evening. You say morning and evening.
That's right. It doesn't. Now, people talk about the Jewish reckoning of time, and we use that. We use the Jewish reckoning of time when we do the crucifixion of Christ. You know, the Jewish day starts at 6 p.m. every day. So, that's the evening. And there's four watches. We're not getting to that, but it goes to 6 a.m. So, where did these Jews get their reckoning of time? They got it right out of Genesis. That's where they got it. That's what it says. The evening and the morning is the first day. Now, here's your pattern. So the day and the night and the evening and the morning are the first day. And then God makes a firmament. He makes a firmament, and it divides it from the waters from the waters. I heard E.C. preach about some of this waters from the waters. But in Genesis 1:8, let's look at it. And God called the firmament. Oh, wait, you get there. And God called the firmament heaven. But we can look up and we can see heaven, the first heaven. We can't see the, well, I think we can see the second heaven. That's where, the first heaven is where birds fly. It's where you've got oxygen. Second heaven, there ain't no oxygen. You better have an oxygen tank if you're going there. Third heaven, nobody knows where that's at. It's where God's throne is. So we don't know where that's at. Even with the best telescopes, and we've been out about 500 billion light years and still ain't found it. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So the evening and the morning is the second day. I want you to watch this carefully in the third day. Remember, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. So there's a lot of third days in this scripture. And God said in Genesis 1:11, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. It happened. God said it. It happened. Now, I want you to notice that the trees yield fruit after their kind. If you have a pear tree, guess what? You're not going to get peaches off of it. You're going to get pears after its kind. Notice the next verse in Genesis 1:12. And the earth brought forth grass. The sea in Genesis 1:11, it says, let the earth do this. Let the earth do that. Now in Genesis 1:12, it's done, took place. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Everything was working as God had planned. Look at all the things are coming forth. and bringing forth and yielding fruit. Now, what does that sound like? The earth brought forth, notice, in Genesis 1:13, and the evening and the morning was the third day. The third day. Got to be careful with these things. Pay attention to what's going on in it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you know these scriptures probably more than I do or by heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just keep in mind on the third day, third day, third day. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, 3. For I, Paul's talking about, and he wrote this book, delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, that's what it says. And that he was buried, and that he was rising, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Listen, Genesis 1:13 again, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now further on down in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Let's continue to look. See, we know that those earth, the grass and herb-bearing trees, they had their own seeds, and they cast out fruit and grass seeds, just like the original world. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Well, do you see the analogy so far about the grass and the trees? They come with the same body. Well, it's not a body, but it's the same fruit, trees, the same grass. Bermuda grass put off Bermuda seeds. Okay? And your certain types of grass did that. They didn't. Bermuda didn't put off zoysia. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean. But some will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, verse 36. That which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive except it die. You got to die first before you're going to be quickened. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So every tree, pine tree. If you plant a pine tree or you take a seed from a pine tree, it's not going to come up an oak tree. That's the whole point. Now, in Genesis 1:12, let's look at this and continue looking at it. In Genesis 1:12, and the earth brought forth grass, an herb-yielding seed after his kind. You know, it's intriguing to see the word his there when it's not talking about an individual. It's talking about the seed, the trees. And the earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree-yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. I think of a peach tree when I think of that scripture right there. Peach seeds inside of it. Apple seeds are inside apples. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, so regeneration is rebirth, literally. It's renovation. It's restoration. In Revelation 1:18, let's look at that. Revelation 1:18.
Does that mean crabgrass is an herb?
It is. Pusley.
Isn't it amazing that the sun and moon was not created before the grass and all that? In other words, you have to question, how did the grass grow? There wasn't no light, but we read in Revelation that the sun and moon's going to be done away with. And the light is going to be there in the world.
Here's the light. If you remember,
God is the light, isn't he?
Yes, because if you remember, on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ was brighter than the noonday sun. Even before he created light, there was light. Mm-hmm. He was the light. Just think about that. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I give me chills.
Yeah, because the couldn't have grown without light. You know that.
Now,
beautiful.
In Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth.
Where are you?
And was dead.
Revelation 1:18.
Who's saying this? Jesus Christ. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Well, see, he was dead, wasn't he? He was born again, so he's alive forevermore. And you were born again Or no, I'm, let me take that statement back.
Yeah,
you were not born again. Oh, no, you weren't. That was a misspeak. But he died your death, took your sins away. But you will be born again. Let me say that. And we'll get to that point of where it's going to take place. But he's alive forevermore. And that's exactly what's going to happen to us. You know, if the rapture doesn't come and take place before we all actually die a physical death, then we'll be translated if we're still here when the rapture takes place. Yes, sir?
Yeah, when I was in the Pentecostal church, you know, they used to spiritualize everything.
Yep.
And one of the things they spiritualized was the seed. You got to read in Genesis about the seed yielding its own kind of its own kind.
Right.
Well, they say if you want money, you got to
plant a seed.
Plant a seed. If you want money, then you got to sow money.
Yeah, but see, if you'll notice something about that, I agree, that's exactly what happened. But if you'll notice, that peach tree, that seed goes into the ground, and it sprouts back up as a peach tree. You take that dollar bill and put it in the ground, it ain't coming up as a $100 bill. It just isn't.
It's not even making $1,000.
Anything in there, yeah.
There's something called money tree.
Now, somebody might have the question about what Paul says, that he was born out of due time. Actually, that's not what Paul says, that he was born out of due time. Did you know that?
As one.
That's right. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 15:5. But a lot of people say, Paul born out of due time. No, he wasn't. In 1 Corinthians 15:5, and that he, Paul, was seen of Cephas, Jesus, I'm sorry, was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen about above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some have fallen asleep. And that's, of course, at the time this was written. Because there's nobody here that saw Jesus Christ, okay? You want to use the word present, you've got to put it in context of where it's at. It's not present day. After that, verse 7, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also. Listen, as of one born out of due time. Of one, not born out of due time, but as of one born out of due time. So he says that he is as of one born out of due time, not that he was born out of due time. Well, what is due time? The angels has got an answer for that. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 10. As one born out of due time versus born out of due time. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, who was that? Peter, James, and John? They were at the ascension. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. You see that? Two men. Didn't say two women. Angels are not women. They're not female. There's not a female angel in the entire Bible. But Carol used to watch that show. What was it?
Touched by an Angel.
Touched by an Angel. It was a fictitious show. But I mean, if you like it, stuff like that. I mean, she likes stuff like that. I don't. I can't stand it. If it ain't real, don't talk to me about it. Verse 11. Acts 1, verse 11. Which also said, these two angels, these two men, did it say they were angels? No, but the context is they are. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He just went right up into the clouds. That's the way he's going to come back. That's what the angel said. But nobody now, wait a minute, don't jump on me here. I'm talking about the little flock or anybody else other than in this dispensation that we're in. other than this dispensation that we're in. Nobody saw Jesus after he ascended into heaven except one. And we know who that is. We'll get to that. That was Saul of Tarsus. Those two angels, they said something. They said he would come in like manner as he left. That's when they would see him again, when he comes back. Now, Peter, James, and John, they knew, and of course the angels knew, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior, my Savior, he arrived in heaven. How did they know that? How did they know Jesus made it into heaven? In Acts chapter 2, let's go look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. And I tell you what, before we go into this, let's take a break.
Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you. And join us next week.